Hello, and welcome to this audio edition of Philip Huscher's program notes for upcoming concerts by the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. I'm Richard Caparella, and concerts by the CSO on Thursday, October 17th through Saturday, the 19th, feature guest conductor Nicholas Kramer and a quartet of vocal soloists Amanda Forsyth, soprano, countertenor Are Nussbaum-Cohen, Josh Lovell, tenor, and bass baritone Michael Samuel, along with the Chicago Symphony Chorus, guest director Benjamin Rivera. The program includes Water Music, Suite No. 2 by Handel, as well as selections from Handel operas and oratorios, and after intermission, a brief elegy by Beethoven, followed by the Mass in C Major, the Coronation Mass by Mozart. And here are Philip Huscher's program notes on Water Music, Suite No. 2 by Handel, the performance time around 12 minutes. Unlike his contemporaries, Bach, born just 19 days later, Vivaldi, and Telemann, Handel has never gone out of fashion. His oratorio, Messiah, has helped to keep his name alive, of course, but other works, including the lively set of pieces he wrote to accompany an evening of fireworks and his engaging suites of water music, have also been widely performed, even in times when Baroque music was neither well known nor appreciated. After he visited London in 1710 and then moved there for good in 1712, Handel commanded a huge following and was in great demand both as a composer and performer. He excelled on organ and harpsichord for the rest of his life. After he became a British subject in 1727, he started spelling his name George Frederick Handel rather than Georg Friedrich Handel, which appears on his birth certificate. It was with the water music that he made his earliest indelible impression on the London public at large, his first big splash, as it were, on July 17, 1717. On Wednesday evening at about 8, the king took water at Whitehall in an open barge. That's how begins a Daily Courant report of the extravaganza accompanied by what we now know as Handel's water music. King George I, it was his successor King George II who started the tradition of standing for the Alleluia Chorus, and a large group of English nobility sailed up the Thames River that evening to Chelsea, where they were served supper. So many persons of quality attended, and there were so many boats, that the whole river, in a manner, was covered. Apparently, the party didn't break up until 3 in the morning. The king arrived home at St. James Palace at about 4:30. Although royal barge processions were common under George I to meet the ships of visiting dignitaries or for special holiday cruises, none boasted background music as lavish as the score Handel provided in 1717. According to the Daily Courant, one of the river barges was reserved just for the musicians, wherein were 50 instruments of all sorts who played, the finest symphonies composed express for this occasion by Mr. Handel, which his Majesty liked so well that he caused it to be played over 3 times in going and returning. Handel's band evidently kept going until the king himself was safely back on land. In 1734, Handel's publisher, John Walsh, started selling suites of what he advertised as celebrated water music, the first important printed source of today's much-loved water music. In 1743, the year of the first London performance of Messiah, he issued a transcription of the water music for solo harpsichord. But it wasn't until 1788, nearly 3 decades after the composer's death, that the complete water music was finally published in full score. It is likely that the tradition of grouping Handel's vast assortments of musical numbers into 3 distinct suites began with that publication, not with the composer. The second suite begins with an obligatory grand overture and ends with jubilant music, a lively French bourrée, a folk dance in duple meter. In between comes a loose assortment of lovely slow movement and traditional dances, the courtly minuet, an elegant dance in triple meter, and the quintessentially British hornpipe, one of Handel's first efforts to become simply Handel. Program notes by Philip Huscher on Suite No. 2 from Water Music by Handel. And now, on to the Coronation Mass in C Major, catalog No. 317 by Mozart. The work lasts about 31 minutes. Mozart wrote to his father Leopold from Munich on January 8, 1779, "I swear to you on my honor that I cannot bear Salzburg or its inhabitants, I mean the natives of Salzburg, their language, their manners are quite intolerable to me. The next week, he arrived in Salzburg and saw Leopold and his sister Nannerl for the first time in more than a year. It was a difficult reunion because Mozart's mother had not come home with him. She had died in Paris the previous July. Now that Mozart had tasted independence, he found his father's persistent meddling particularly irritating. Leopold was especially protective ever since he learned that Wolfgang had fallen in love with Aloysia Weber while he was away. He was also frustrated at being stuck in Salzburg, which, compared to the great cities he had visited, was no more than a cultural backwater in a pretty setting. Mozart understood the impact of travel and adventure, not just on his personal development or his understanding of the world, but on his artistry. Quote, "For I assure you, without travel, at least for people from the arts and sciences, one is a miserable creature. A man of mediocre talents always remains mediocre, may he travel or not, but a man of superior talents, which I cannot deny myself to have without being blasphemous, becomes bad if he always stays in the same place." And so, not for the last time, adversity provoked Mozart to prove his mettle, inspiring music of surpassing brilliance and self-assurance, and to clarify his sense of mission. In mid-January, immediately after returning to Salzburg, Mozart petitioned the archbishop for a new appointment as court organist, a multitask position of composing, playing organ, and teaching. With the indifference to genius that regularly characterized Salzburg politics, he was given the post at the same salary, 450 gulden, as his predecessor, Anton Aldgasser, effective January 17. He would keep the job barely 2 years, but in that time he began to consolidate his forces in preparation for conquering Vienna, the great musical capital just down the road, yet at the moment seemingly inaccessible. His first major task was the composition of a mass in C major that eventually became known as the Coronation. Mozart completed it on March 23rd, 9 weeks after his homecoming. By 1779, Mozart had written some 14 masses and other miscellaneous sacred works for performance in Salzburg. They span his working life up to that time, from the one-movement Kyrie setting, dated June 12, 1766, Mozart was only 10 years old, to a mass in B-flat, composed shortly before he and his mother left Salzburg in September 1777. This new mass in C major, like so many of his earlier ones, Mozart regularly turned to this key for his most majestic and brilliant music, fits perfectly in the tradition of the stately yet festive Austrian mass of the 18th century. But it also reveals a composer capable of transforming everything he touched. In this sense, it marks a turning point because it finds Mozart pushing the accepted boundaries of liturgical music at the same time he's perfecting the style. This is a work of symphonic tendencies and operatic leanings, all held in perfect balance. The majestic Kyrie and the brilliant Gloria, both firmly anchored in C major, are grand ceremonial statements filled with many subtle details that reveal Mozart's care with text setting. The Credo is, by its nature, music of contrasting tempos and dynamics, although Mozart makes something particularly theatrical of its inherent drama, particularly in the Et Incarnatus, a dark exploratory adagio with haunting violin arabesques. Mozart's Sanctus, a choral declaration of praise, and the Benedictus for the four soloists are concise, straightforward, and highly effective. The Agnus Dei transports us momentarily to the opera house with a beautifully poised soprano solo that foreshadows the Countess's Dove Sono in The Marriage of Figaro. The kinship is most remarkable in the reprise of the melody when the accompaniment shifts from muted strings to a gentle pizzicato. Then, to music from the Kyrie, she begins the Dona Nobis, gathering the other soloist and the choir together in an exultant close. A word on the familiar nickname, coronation. It was not coined by Mozart, but it was already in use by the time Ludwig Kerschel published his catalog of the composer's complete works in 1862. It was once believed that Mozart wrote this Mass for an annual service commemorating the crowning of the Altar of Grace at Maria Plain near Salzburg. Now, it seems more likely that the name arose when Mozart's Mass was performed at the time of the coronation of Leopold II in 1791, or of his successor, Franz II, the following year in Prague. Like many inauthentic or inexplicable nicknames, it has stuck. Program notes by Philip Huscher on the Coronation Mass by Mozart. I'm Rich Caparella. Thanks for listening.